this is the Sunday following the resurrection of Jesus. And this morning we find ourselves back at the tomb for a moment. I would prefer today that we just have a chat. Not necessarily a sermon, certainly not an expository proclamation, just me and you chatting, if you will. The resurrection of Jesus was not a spectacular event by any means to the rest of the world. There were no fireworks, no brass band, no crowd gathered around to see the ribbon being cut. Rather, the resurrection of Jesus was very intimate and quiet and personal, especially in this passage as we hear Jesus say, "Mary, why are you weeping?" You have heard me say many times that my mission statement for ministry is people go where they know they've been prepared for and are cared for. Jesus certainly modeled prepared for and cared for everyone. He always took time for others. He was always prepared for the crowds and always took time to stop and to talk and have involvement with those around him. And even on this day of his resurrection, he stops and says, "Mary, why are you weeping?" Mary Magdalene was one of those who had been cared for deeply by Jesus. Mary had come from the town of Magdala, a town that was pronounced by the rabbis as one of the most evil in its time. So if you came from Magdala, you wore that label, and you were considered evil too. History certainly has painted an unkind picture of Mary through the years, and tradition has put a number of negative labels on her. None of those come from Scripture, however. What we really know from the Bible is in Luke 8. She was possessed by 7 demons, and she was so possessed and so unruly that the town had set her off by herself. Only Jesus could have changed her life. And Jesus came in and healed her. And from the moment of her healing, she transformed into a deeply, deeply committed follower of Jesus. She would have been a regular in the camp. She would have been recognized as one of his closest followers. She was transformed to follow Jesus. And all that traveled in his entourage would have recognized Mary from Magdala as one of the closest followers. Chuck Bug says that when one's life has been transformed, you never forget the one who transformed you. Many of you can call the name of the pastor who baptized you. Many of you can call the name of the pastor who did your wedding or did a funeral for a loved one. Many of you can name the names of others who have played a significant part in your spiritual formation. Mary was transformed by Jesus, and they had a bond. I wonder who is someone else who has transformed you. For sure, your parents and grandparents, but perhaps a teacher, perhaps a friend, perhaps someone that you just met in passing. One of those who transformed me was Miss Gwen. She was in one of my churches in my early years of ministry, and not long after I went to that church, she called me in to show me her prayer notebook. On her coffee table, there was about a 3 to 4 inch thick notebook. And she opened the notebook and began to show me that in her prayer book, there were the names of people that she prayed for. There was a picture of each person attached to the notebook paper and notes around the picture where she could document that in her mind God had answered her prayers. Somewhere around page 341 was the Prosser family. There was me and Gail and each of the girls on our laps. They were tiny at the time. Page 341 was my page. And she said, "Bo, every day I pray for you." And there were notes around our family picture where, in her mind, God had answered her prayers for us. I can't tell you what a blessing that was. And so it was with Mary. "Mary, why are you weeping?" Her transformation and the one who had transformed her moved her to this deep and abiding love for Jesus. And Jesus loved Mary, even as he loved those others around him, even as he loves us. "Mary, why are you weeping?" It was her love of Jesus that brought her to this tomb. It was her commitment to Jesus that brought her to care for him in this moment. It was her devotion to Jesus that brought her to deep grief. Something very deep was going on inside this woman as she wept. More emotion than she could name, certainly more than the seven demons were swirling around inside her. She was pained. She was grieving. She was fighting her past. She was alone in her present. She was afraid of what her future might bring. Not unlike where we find ourselves today. Many of us pained and grieving, fearful, alone. Many of us fighting our past, fearing our present, afraid of what our future might bring. What emotions are you wrestling with in the midst of this pandemic? How are you coping? When have you been alone? When have you cried in these days? Prosser, why are you weeping? The resurrection of Jesus, as unspectacular as it was for so many, was amazing for this weeping woman. And it happened with just one word, Mary. When Jesus called her name, her whole world changed. When Jesus calls our name, our whole world changes. Chuck Bug says these words, "In these days, we don't have the luxury of touch. All that we have is the depth of words." It was not uncommon when Gail and I would go to our favorite Mexican restaurant to sit and look into one another's eyes and perhaps reach and hold hands as we talked. We don't have the opportunity to do that right now. We aren't able to sit in our Sunday school classes. We aren't able to sit in a church pew. We aren't able to give hugs. We are distant from one another. But we do have words. We can communicate. We can communicate sincerely to those around us. "How are you doing? What might I do for you?" We can make phone calls and send technology communications to one another. "I'm calling you today not because I have to. I'm calling you today because I care about you. I'm calling you today not because you're the next person on my list. I'm calling you today because I care about you." And when we ask those two questions, "How are you? What can I do for you?" Those words mean more than we will ever know. Mary, why are you weeping? Dr. Bow, why are you weeping? And perhaps he also said, weep no more. In these days of uncertainty, I know that many of you are weeping. I know that you work in the hospitals and in care facilities, and when you come home, you have to decide whether you can hug your loved ones or not. I know that many of you are working in food service and are still providing food for the rest of us, and when you come home from interacting all day, you wonder, should I hug my loved ones? I know that others of you are still having to go to work and you find yourself involved and engaged with the public. And when you come home, you wonder. Not only do you wonder if it's safe to hug your loved ones, you wonder if you're safe as well. And I know that in these days of fear and panic, that there have been moments when you have wept. Jesus confronts Mary at her deepest need. Mary, why are you weeping? And he confronts us at our deepest needs. Prosser, why are you weeping? And perhaps Jesus is saying to us, weep no more. Let's pray together. God, in these moments, our eyes are heavy with tears. Our heads are heavy with thoughts. Our hearts are heavy because of social distancing and lack of personal interaction. Help us, God, to continue to have faith in you. To continue to have hope that you will bring an end to this and bring us back to one another. Help us, God. Help us not be ashamed of our tears in these days, but to share them with those who are prepared for us and care for us, as Jesus did, as Jesus does. And we pray in his name. Amen.